the financial crisis in focus again today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It is day three for the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission on Capitol Hill. Former executives from mortgage giant Fannie Mae will make an appearance during hearings. And the crisis panel was appointed to publicly examine the causes of the meltdown and how to prevent another one. Now, naturally, the government-backed mortgage giant is a big focus of their work, and today is going to prove that. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live this morning from our New York studio with the latest. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
What are we expecting to hear today?
The panel is going to be looking at the role that Fannie Mae and its regulators played in the crisis. Fannie Mae and its cousin, Freddie Mac, prop up the housing market by buying mortgages from lenders and then selling them in pieces onto investors. And critics say that the companies helped fuel the housing boom and bust by lowering their standards and helping put people in homes they couldn't afford. The government eventually stepped in to rescue these companies in the fall of 2008.
So, Amy, who's on deck then to talk about all that?
Well, Fannie Mae's former CEO, Daniel Mudd, will testify. He has been criticized for ignoring warnings that the company was taking on too much risk. We'll also hear from two of the company's former regulators about why the government didn't do more to intervene.
And so we're a couple of days into these hearings. I mean, give us a recap of what we've heard so far.
Right. It's been sort of a mix of apologies and blame. On Wednesday, former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan pretty much blamed everyone but the Fed for the crisis. But then yesterday, Citigroup's former CEO Chuck Prince apologized repeatedly for his bank's role. The panel's going to now take what they've learned from all these hearings and future hearings and deliver a report to Congress by December 15th.
Marketplace's Amy Scott reporting this morning from New York. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, let's do the numbers. European stocks are higher right now, more than 0.5%, anywhere between 0.5% and 0.5%. Investors are hopeful the Greek debt problem can be handled by the European Union or the IMF, and the country won't default. Asian shares closed higher today as well. Stocks here at home gained a little. The Dow is back within reach of 11,000. It closed higher yesterday, up 29 points, 10,927. And the NASDAQ and S&P added less than 0.5%. This summer, South Africa hosts the Soccer World Cup. If you go, you might want to bring a flashlight. There's been an electricity shortage there for years. Now, to solve that problem, the World Bank just approved a nearly $4 billion loan to help build a massive coal power plant. Critics, though, don't like that it's a dirty energy project. And from Washington, Brett Neely has that.
South Africa couldn't get a commercial loan to build the power plant because of the financial crisis, so it turned to the World Bank for help. That angered some governments, including the U.S., who want to use World Bank money to fund clean energy projects. And this plant is definitely not clean, says energy expert Michael Levy at the Council on Foreign Relations.
It has emissions greater than some small countries.
The World Bank did attach some strings to the loan. It will also finance wind and solar power projects in South Africa. That seems like a case of one hand not knowing what the other is doing, says Andrew Light. He studies environmental policy at George Mason University.
I frankly find this, though, kind of schizophrenic. I mean, is it the case that we're always going to be saying that for every kilowatt hour of electricity generated through solar power, it has to be matched with a kilowatt hour of electricity generated through coal?
The World Bank may not have to worry about a repeat of this fight. Officials there told me they expect this coal plant will be the last one the bank finances. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
A bunch of smart economists are gathered in Cambridge, England, at the university there for the Institute for New Economic Thinking Conference, looking at why things went so badly so fast with the economy. Former Marketplace host David Brancaccio was there, and he's with us to talk about it. David, welcome back to our air.
Hey, good to talk to you, Steve.
Tell us a little bit about what's happening in Cambridge.
Well, it's a gathering of the Institute for New Economic Thinking. That's a It's a new think tank funded with $50 million of financier George Soros' money. And what there is a lot of the world's top economists crammed into an historic room at King's College. I remember reporting on the 2001 Nobel Prize for Economics. Three guys won it that year: Joseph Stiglitz, George Akerlof, and Michael Spenzel. Every one of those guys, all three, is sitting there, you know, around the coffee this morning. So it's a lot of economic firepower.
And what are they talking about? What are some of the questions that they're bringing up?
Well, economics as a discipline, as a theory, has ended up with a black eye in this great economic collapse we've been experiencing. A speaker said we have to have a system that assumes that bad things can happen, not just expecting that things will fix themselves. In fact, they introduced the morning session this morning with a little video, but the song playing was Dancing in the Dark. That's quite a statement for the discipline of economics.
Would we be talking about this, David, if the economy weren't so tepid right now?
Well, that's the thing. You know, if things had ticked along fine, it would have suggested to many that the discipline of economics had it right. But many people see cataclysms as an opportunity to rethink and to do a better job at getting a handle on what might lie ahead. It's one of financier George Soros' interests, for instance, and he vehemently believes that markets trend toward going out of whack, the out of whack that we've just seen. So how can economics and economic thinking incorporate that better? It's really, I think, a watershed moment for economics as the discipline comes together to have this kind of discussion.
Former Marketplace host David Brancaccio, he's working on a TV special about alternative economics. David, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
Hope you can share your thoughts with us inside our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.